Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Chaka Khan. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Definitely. It's good for us to be with you. Are you kidding me?
Well, thank you.
The reason we're doing this, in case our listeners don't know, she's coming to the Kennedy Center for a special New Year's Eve party Thursday, December 31st at 8:30. Ms. Khan, have you ever played at the Kennedy Center before?
I believe so. Yeah, I think I've done some stuff with the school. I don't know.
Something or other.
But I'm sure I have. I'm playing so many places. I know I played the Kennedy Center before.
Yeah, but I'm sure it all runs together after a while.
Mm-hmm. It does. It starts to.
What do you got planned for the New Year's Eve party? Are we going to hear any, is it New Year's Eve themed to any of it? Any Auld Lang Syne, or is it all your classics, or what can we expect?
Well, that depends on what time I'm on stage. If I'm on stage, during the bewitching hour, then there will be an Auld Lang Syne in there, I'm sure. Otherwise, there'll be just a damn good show.
Man, I like that. Damn good show. That's a promise.
Yeah, it's a promise.
Are we going to hear a bunch of your hits? Is there anything new you've been working on?
I may have a couple of new things in there. It's possible.
Okay.
We haven't decided yet, but, for our show, since I've been in it so long.
Yeah.
And I have hit throughout probably the last three generations. I have to sort of, really rethink out my shows and try to, make everybody happy.
Yeah.
So there'll be all the hits in there from Rufus onto my, my own career and right up to date. We just do a walk through time.
Yeah.
In one of my shows, so.
It's going to be awesome. We actually just about a week or two ago interviewed George Clinton, and we went all into Parliament Funkadelic. He's sort of the king of funk, and
yes,
you, and you're the queen of funk.
Well, thank you.
Did you, growing up, let's see, you grew up in what was it, south
Chicago.
Side of Chicago? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, take me back, you're a little girl growing up in south side of Chicago. If someone popped into your, transported in time and popped into your little bedroom as you're singing in the mirror or whatever and said, you're going to be the queen of funk one day, what would that little girl in Chicago have said?
I wouldn't have understood what they were talking about. because as a little girl, my dad and my mom, they played a lot of jazz or classical music.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't get into, into street music or into funk, until I was a little older.
Right.
But as a little girl, I danced a lot.
Right.
And that's what you would have caught me doing.
I
probably
see.
Dancing and saying, what is the queen of funk? I would have asked that.
Now you know what it is. But back then, it would have been hard to imagine, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I read somewhere along the way that you had, when you were, either a young teen or so, you formed a little group with your sister, Taka.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the Crystallettes. How did that formation happen?
Well, we were all in school, in the same school. We lived on the same block. And two other friends of mine, a girl named Finesse Levy, another girl named Nikki Scott,
mm-hmm.
and my sister Taka and myself, we were all sitting on our porch and looking at the snow come down onto the sidewalk and how it was looking like crystal. And we said, I know, let's call our group the Crystallettes. And so we did.
It was snow that did it. Okay.
And she made our costumes and did up our hair and would escort us to little talent shows around the block, around the neighborhood. And, that was the Crystallettes, and we won a lot of the talent shows.
Yeah, what sort of stuff did you guys sing?
Well, you just the stuff we were hearing on the radio. So, we did some Gladys Knight. We did some. What else did we do? Oh, God, Cowboys to Girls. We did stuff by the Temptations.
Right.
Any
Martha Reeves in there?
Yeah, the Vandellas, Martha and the Vandellas, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Well, cute.
I bet it was. Take me through the transition from, the young, starry-eyed dreamer Crystallettes to when you finally broke through with Rufus. How did that actually happen?
Well, let me let you know. Or during all this time, I didn't really want to be a singer.
Oh, really?
No, I was looking into, a botanist or looking into biology or,
mm-hmm.
or teaching or something like that.
Yeah.
That's where my heart was. and or you know maybe I was working also part time on an art scholarship to the University of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
the Arts Institute.
Yeah.
So I was working on that, and my mother and I weren't getting along. So I left home. I ran away.
At what age?
At 16.
Oh, okay.
And I was living in like a sort of a hippie kind of commune kind of situation.
I got you.
And we were all like, there were several people who had bands and stuff there. And I joined one of their bands, got on welfare, and I refused to go back home. And so I had to sort of change my plans, didn't I?
Right.
And I started singing to bring in money for the commune.
I never knew that. That's wild.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And, you know, when I saw the reactions that I was getting from singing, I said, oh, this is a breeze. This is something I just do, you know.
I might be onto something.
For fun, you know. And so that's when the singer came in.
Right.
When I first went over home and had to make money, I said, this is something I can do. And here I am still singing to make money and trying to and trying to incorporate teaching and everything else that I love, you know,
sure.
in that.
Man, if you would have gone into botany, just think, we would have missed out on so many, so
yeah,
much
right.
good music.
All those great plants I could have grown. Well, I still grow a lot of plants. I have lots of plants.
Did you ever think of singing a song about a plant?
Well, Stevie Wonder sort of beat me to it, but no, I really never thought of it until he did it. I said, oh, that's cool. That's an idea.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you guys, you, speaking of Stevie, early on in Rufus, you guys did, didn't you do
something good? Yeah. Yeah, I met him. We had a real great producer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a producer. His name was Bob Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer with us, but I was maybe 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pregnant. And we were in studio. Rufus and I,
mm-hmm.
and Bob came in and said, guys, would you like to meet Stevie Wonder? And we were like, of course. we had previously covered one of his songs, Maybe Your Baby.
Maybe Your Baby, yeah.
And so we loved him. And we didn't believe Bob, of course. But the very next night, Bob brought him down to the studio. And, of course, we were amazed. Whole thing, studios, and Stevie sat down behind the piano. And he started playing some stuff, and I told him, I said, well, I don't like any of that. I said, you got anything else? He said, what's your birth sign? And I told him I was Aries. And I said, oh, he said, I got something for you. So he started playing, you know, the signature chords and telling me the Waka Waka stuff. And we all fell in love. We said, oh, this is the one. And we actually wrote that song together, but we gave him all the credits because we were just so happy to have, you know, his help and have him in the studio with us.
Wow, and all because he asked you what your birth sign was.
Yeah, he asked me what my birth sign was, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is hilarious.
It's and, of funny. Course, it was your, you know, it was a massive hit, and I think it won you your first Grammy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Do you remember a specific time, because I'm sure you're in there with Stevie, and you, as you guys were writing it and putting it together, you were loving Tell Me Something Good, but do you remember a moment whether you were, I don't know if it was driving in the car or whatever, when you first heard that hit the radio, did it take you aback? Did you, you know, were you blown away that, hey, that's me?
Yeah, you know, of course when you hear yourself on a radio for the first time, anybody doing anything, I guess, it'd blow you away. Yeah. I remember us being all very excited. And blown away. And, of course, it gives you more gas. You know, you say, okay, we can do this.
Yeah, for
real.
Sure. Do you remember that first Grammy experience where you're looking out at some of your fellow competition and being like, hey, I used to admire you, and now I'm beating you for this award. It's got
to
be wild.
Well, that did happen to me. It's still happening to me. That has happened to me throughout my entire career.
Yeah.
You know, meeting people that, you know, I've loved for years. Yeah, I think the first Grammy show that we went to, we didn't know what was going on, really. I'm sure we were just really just confused.
Yeah.
And I, as I recall, I probably just said, thank you, and grabbed the sucker and left. Probably, that's...
Yeah, well, you've won 10 of those suckers over the years.
Yeah.
do any of them, you know, stand out more than the others? Is there one you're sort of most proud of or were most surprised that you won by?
Yeah. Well, you know, there are a couple, really. I mean, I got one for an album I did.
Yeah.
Call the Woman I Am. Mm-hmm. And I never heard it played anywhere, you know. And I was wondering, how did that happen? You know, okay, so that's one.
Yeah.
Another one I got was when I did this, I did a What's Going On by Marvin Gaye with the Funk Brothers. They're the Motown band.
Mm-hmm.
I did a specialty. It was a movie they made as well. I did a song in it, and that won a Grammy. I was surprised about that.
Wow. Yeah, that was in 2003, I believe.
I didn't think that. But it was a great performance, I have to say.
Didn't you also win for a duet with Ray Charles?
Oh, I'll Be Good to You?
Yeah, it's a great song.
It could have. It probably did. That might be one of them.
She's won so many, she forgets.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of.
What was it like working with Ray?
Oh, it was fabulous. It was wonderful. Williams, Ray and Quincy, you know?
Yeah.
That was amazing. It's always great to work with Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
It's great working with Ray. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He was. And we had a good time doing the song, as I recall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Tell me where you were. I mean, obviously, one of my favorites, I'm sure most people, is I'm Every Woman. Why, you know, that's like, God, it's just so iconic. And you could play it to any kid out there today, and they would still know that song. I mean, everyone knows that song.
That's that anthem song that I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Through the Fire. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where were you when you came up with that one? Did you write that one?
No, I didn't. Actually, I wish I had. I felt like I did, actually. That's why I did it. but that was Valerie Simpson and her husband.
Okay.
Yeah, wrote that song, I'm Every Woman. And I was working with Arif Martin in New York. I was living in New York then. And we sent in a demo, which sounded nothing like the finished product, of course. but, you know, I said, I'd love to do it because I love the changes, but I felt kind of funny singing I'm Every Woman. I felt funny at that time in my life.
Right.
Singing I'm Every Woman, I remember feeling a little, like, how dare I say that? But now I get it, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't get it then.
Right, right, yeah.
That is funny, you know, how you have to grow into some things sometimes that you've done.
Sometimes you sing it before you even grow into it.
Exactly. Some part of me knew that it was the right thing to do,
right?
Or something, well, I think.
We're glad you listened to that part of it.
Yeah, me too.
Now, would you say that was the one that sort of, you know, helped you put you on the map sort of as a solo artist? Because you and Rufus were doing
absolutely.
Some great stuff, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That was my first solo hit.
Yeah, was that big for you as in terms of maybe sort of like a confidence builder? Like, hey, I can do this on my own.
Absolutely, yeah, because I was feeling very, like, weird. I've always been with a band or a group, you know, and part of a group situation.
Yeah.
And I loved that, you know, sort of the anonymity of that. Rufus didn't start falling apart until the record label decided to put my name out front.
Ah.
Chaka Khan and Rufus, that was the beginning of our downfall. So I had a, you know, sort of a problem with that whole thing.
So
we had to break up.
Yeah.
And I was on stage by myself. I didn't have Bobby on one side and Tony on the other.
Yeah.
You know, I felt really weird for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Took me years to get used to, you know, just being a front person on my own. Now I don't think I could have it any other way.
Yeah. What? Mm-hmm. Take me into that about why do you think that was your downfall? Getting sort of top billing there. Did it start a little?
Well,
you know,
because
internal.
Were a band. You know,
yeah.
we were Rufus.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And that was it. And we all were equal in the takes, equal in the makes, mm-hmm. equal in everything. We were democratic. We voted on songs.
Right.
My vote's never won, of course. but
because you kept pitching plant botany songs.
Yeah, but there was a certain security in that. You know, I felt secure.
Right.
You dig?
Yeah.
It's not easy, you know, being up front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm Every Woman helped you break out there on your own, and
that's absolutely right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first solo CD.
That's awesome. Where were you when you do you remember where you were when you first heard the Whitney cover?
Oh God, no, I don't remember where I was. For Christ's sake.
Well, maybe not remember exactly where
you
were.
I'm telling you, she did such a great job.
Yeah.
That I listened to those background vocals. I said, are those hers or mine? You know, I did really question that until for a while.
Yeah.
And then I said, that doesn't really matter. She did such a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those that's been done, you know, multiple times. But yours and Whitney's are both killer versions, man. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Where were you when I Feel For You came around?
Who knows? I was in New York. I was still living in New York. Right. That I know.
Right.
That was during the time Prince first came out. It was during the time of the release of his first CD.
Right.
Had just come out. And I heard that song on that CD. And I said, this is a great freaking song. So I said, I'd love to cover this. So I played it for my producer, Arif. And he said, yeah. He said, it's a very, very, very nice song. So we did it.
Yeah.
And I sang it one night, and it sounded great. Went home, came back the next night, and Arif said to me, I've got a surprise for you. I said, so I hate surprises. So I was like, oh, shit, what? So he played the song, and he had a rapper on it.
Wow.
Sang my name over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I said, oh, my God. I said, this sounds good, but hell, he sang my name over and over again. What's going to happen? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I did not like that part. But he said, don't worry, my dear. Just forget about it. It's going to be a hit.
And he was right.
So he was right. I have no way of picking the hits. I don't know how to do that. So.
Well, if anyone knew that secret, then, you know, everyone would be rich. You know, sometimes, yeah.
Everybody would have hits, yeah.
Did Prince give you any good feedback on your version of it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was in San Francisco. I don't know what I was doing up there. But he was up there, too, recording. I didn't know that. But I get this phone call. It's like he's like the Secret Service, you know?
Yeah,
I get
sure.
a phone call. And he's talking to me, but he was talking like Sly. Now, Sly and I were very good friends, you know, at that time. Mm-hmm. And he was talking exactly like Sly. And he said, I'm in the studio. Why don't you come down? So I thought I was going down to the studio to see Sly. So I went, took my car, ran down there to see him. And in this whole studio, it was empty except for one booth, you know. There was
yeah.
this little short guy in there with a guitar. So I said, well, where's Sly? And then he came out, and you know, he said, I'm the one that called you.
That's hilarious.
So he tricked me. So I was a little pissed, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I started talking to him, got to know him. And that's when I first met him. And, you know, I got in my car and came back. But we've been friends ever since.
Oh, that's hilarious. Was he intentionally doing a Sly impression, or you just mistook?
Yeah, he could get me down to the studio. He knew that if he said it was Prince, I wouldn't go anywhere.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah, you know, so. But we're great friends.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
We did a great album together. We did a great CD together that is almost unknown. It's called Come to My House.
Oh, okay.
But it's a fabulous. I wrote all the stuff on it. We both wrote the stuff together, and it's amazing. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, you're still working out the set list for New Year's Eve, or do you know a couple of them?
Well, you know, I know pretty much what it's going to be for the most part, yes.
Yeah, but that's for you to know and us to find out.
That's right. That's right.
Awesome. Well, we know you're a busy woman, so and we could talk about everything forever, but
We'll talk another time. We'll do it again.
Exactly. We'll let you.
Nice talking to you, really.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, it's been fantastic. And, you know, before we go, any final, you know, if our listeners are sitting here, they're like, man, I got so many New Year's Eve things going on around town. What's the final pitch to get them to come out to this?
I would just say, you know, come on down. You know, don't miss this show. It's going to be a great night. We're going to have a lot of fun. Come on down and let's do this.
Sounds good. Everybody, yeah. Chaka Khan, the one and only Chaka Khan, almost botanist, queen of funk on WTOP. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Jason. Take care.